This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When it was evening of the day of the resurrection, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Born of flesh, now born of spirit, turn our water into wine. When the well dries up within us, with your help we drink and dine. Perfect love,
let us pray. Spirit of truth, breathe upon us this Pentecost day and always. May your spirit break into the rooms we shut ourselves up inside. Fill the words we just heard, familiar as they are, with your spirit, that it might be alive and present to us this day. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. Happy Pentecost, happy birthday to the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, and happy Mother's Day. A lot to celebrate this day. I wish to begin with a few pearls of wisdom in a humorous way that reflects indeed much that you and I have learned from our mothers. Things my mother taught me. My mother taught me logic. If you fall off that swing and break your neck, you won't be able to go to the store with me. My mother taught me to think ahead. If you don't pass that spelling test, you won't get a good job. She taught me intuition. Put your sweater on. Don't you think I know that you are cold? My mother taught me to meet a challenge. What were you thinking? Answer me when I talk to you. Don't talk back to me. My mother taught me humor. If the lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. My mother taught me how to become an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you won't grow up. She taught me about genetics. You're just like your father. She taught me about roots. What do you think? You were born in a barn? She taught me about wisdom of age. When you get to be my age, you'll understand. She taught me about anticipation. Wait till your father comes home. She taught me about justice. One day you will have kids, and I hope they turn out to be just like you, then you will see what it's like. And she thought we were not listening. Truth is, we learn a lot from our mothers, a great deal that we would never admit to while we were growing up. And indeed, what a double blessing it is for us, for those who had Christian mothers who taught us about the spiritual ways. Being a mother today is difficult. In fact, being a mother or father today offers a great deal of hard choices. Indeed, we are in a society that expects both parents to work in order to fulfill themselves and provide an income that will be able to keep them up with everyone else. It's hard to raise children with the care that they need in this kind of world. If a young mother decides she wants to stay home and raise her children, there are women who will look upon her poorly, saying that she is not a real woman because she's not working outside the home. There are husbands, fathers, who choose to stay home, to be the caregiver, to be the house husband, and are looked upon as being a freak or weirdo for doing so. If both parents work, many times they will feel guilty because they know they are not spending enough time giving love and attention to their children and giving them the quality time they deserve. And then you throw into that mix single parents, blended families, and you can begin to realize how difficult it is to raise children in the world today. How are we to be able to become good mothers and good fathers? How are we to be caring parents and nurture them in this difficult and challenging and often frightening world? Today is also Pentecost Sunday, falling 50 days after Easter. It is a day in which the church celebrates the coming of the Holy Spirit upon those disciples. The two coming of the Spirit stories that we read just a moment ago this morning have one remarkable common feature in them. In both stories, the disciples are found to be sequestered in a closed room, timid, afraid to venture out, intimidated by an unknown future. Like us, like parents, these disciples wonder how they will face the challenge of living in a confusing and frightening world. With our scripture today, we find that suddenly out of nowhere, this Holy Spirit comes and descends upon these disciples, and unbelievable things begin to occur in their lives. This motley crew of Galilean fishermen and errant tax collectors move out into the world and begin to tell the stories of God's love to everyone. And the world watches in stunned silence. Some, maybe thousands, eventually millions, are empowered by this message of love and hope, of grace and of life. And because of it, the world would never be the same again. The gift of the Holy Spirit is the power of Christ that comes to each and every believer. We receive that gift at Holy Baptism, enabling you and me to continue the ministry of Jesus Christ, to become a force of love and peace, to guide this world into the ways of God. As a result of that Holy Spirit, that gift from on high, they had the power and the ability, the skill and the hope to now move out into the world and to be all that God had created them to be. And because of their love and commitment to one another, this ragamuffin band of followers became the church, the body of Christ, a source of life and hope for the entire world to know. And the world would never be the same again. our own church family, as well as the nuclear family of our home, is so essential, critically important in supporting Spirit-filled lives. Being and living as Christ, and to be guided by that power of the Holy Spirit, not only affects everything that you and I do, but more incredible, it molds a future for us that will be rich with blessings. Child psychologists tell us that normally what happens in the home, in the formative years for a child, will affect them for the rest of their lives. If the home is a place of violence, then the likelihood is that the children will be violent. If the home is a place of faith and prayer, then generally the children from that home will be faith-filled and prayerful. If the home is a place of abuse, then that abuse will be perpetuated, whether alcohol or drugs or physical or sexual abuse. If the home is a place of unconditional love and peace, then the children in that home will generally perpetuate that unconditional love and grace. Our gospel text this morning teaches us the importance of having Christ and this Holy Spirit present in our lives. And if there are two places in the world today where that must be evident, it needs to be in our churches and in our homes. First, our churches and homes need to be a place of love. The entire message of Jesus Christ as the incarnation of our loving God and Creator has been the heart of a message of profound love. That love was demonstrated by Christ throughout his entire life and ministry, not only in his preaching and teaching, not only in his healing and in his miracles, but most profoundly by taking the punishment of our sins upon himself on the cross and dying for our sins. The message of today's gospel is how God continues to make that love available to you and to me through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that will never abandon us, that will always be there with you and me. And we are simply called to live that life of love and allow ourselves to be mirrors of that love to the world around us. Why? Because love builds self-esteem and self-worth. Love helps us to be focused and to be centered. Love helps us to be selfless. Secondly, our churches and our homes need to be a place of peace. To be a haven of peace, a church and a home needs to be in an arena where faith is lived. By knowing and by trusting in Almighty God that he is there for us and living through us, we will come to know a peace that surpasses all understanding. There will be a sense of oneness, of wholeness with other believers, with one another as brothers and sisters. A way that you and I come to an understanding of that peace is by developing our relationship with Christ, the body of Christ, the church. And we do that as we come together to worship, as we attend Sunday school, educational programs, as we attend fellowship events, because there we are creating a discipline and a habit. And those actions will demonstrate, more importantly, the higher priorities of our lives, and will be molding lives for our children by simply being a role model. If you and I say that we believe, then our actions will certainly demonstrate it loudly and clearly to our children. There's a wonderful little story about a boy who was disgruntled because on Sunday morning he had to go to church and Sunday school instead of staying home watching TV with his dad. Dad heard him grumbling to his mother before they stepped out to get into the car. So he intervened and he said to his son, "Son, look, you need Sunday school and you need church. I went every day, every Sunday when I was your age. The little boy turned around, shoulders slumped, and headed to the car, but his father heard him mumble something before he got too far. And what he said was, "Yeah, and I'll bet it won't do me any good either." After Sunday school, that boy was delighted to discover there was his father at the back of the church, waiting to sit with him that Sunday and every Sunday thereafter. And no longer did he grumble about going to church. So what changed? The father's attitude about his faith. To be a good example, we must be actively involved. Your faith will bring you to this sense of wholeness, of life, of a purpose, and indeed, a sense of peace. Third, our churches and our homes need to be a cradle of grace. Churches and homes need to be a place where grace abounds. What I mean here is that foundational to the core of being a home and being a church is unconditional love and forgiveness. Homes and churches are not places of judgment. Children and adults are given opportunities to experiment and play with certain attitudes and ideas without recrimination and without loads of guilt. It allows for mistakes, and it pours out forgiveness and love when mistakes are made. A delightful little story about a little girl going to the mall with her mother. And while they were there, she was not very good. She wanted this and she wanted that. Several times she ran away from her mother, got into all kinds of things that made for a very bad day. As they were driving home, she could sense that her mom was displeased with her. And so she asked, "When we ask God to forgive us, Mom, especially when we are bad, he does, doesn't he?" You can see a young theologian blooming here. The mother responds, "Yes, he does." Little girl continues, "And when God forgives us, does God not bury those sins into the deepest sea?" The mother responded, "Yes, that is consistent with the Bible." The little girl was silent for a while, so she then said, "I've asked God to forgive me. But I bet when we get home, you're going to go fishing for those sins, aren't you?" Too often, we go fishing for other people's sins that God has already forgiven and buried. Our church and our homes need to be like certain diets, without guilt, by being a place of grace and forgiveness. I close with this fascinating story from a young mother. She tells how she was trying to put her 3-year-old son to bed to take a nap. She wasn't very successful, so she thought, maybe if I put him into my bed and lay there with him, he will fall asleep. He didn't, but she did. When she woke up, she finds her little son sitting in the chair at the foot of the bed. And so she says, "Luke, what are you doing?" "I'm playing God," was his response. "Playing God?" she asked. "Yes," he said, "I am sitting here watching you while you sleep." Children indeed understand more than we do sometimes. God indeed is always watching over us. Jesus gave, as he had promised, the gift of the Holy Spirit, not only to protect you and me, but to guide us and to empower us to be all that God had created you and me to become. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, God will enable all of us to know and to respond to his presence in our lives. And God will help us with that same Spirit to create an environment of love, of peace, and of grace that our families and the world so desperately need. May this Spirit be alive in you today and always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.